Welcome to the Every Nation Taipei podcast. We're here to help you know God, discover your purpose, grow in your relationships, and make a difference in Taipei, Taiwan, and beyond. We hope this message encourages you today.
It's good to see you all.
很开心见到大家。
Welcome.
欢迎
to the new home.
来到我们的新家。
Let's just give God a hand for being here today
in this space.
There's a lot of folks who worked hard to pull this all together and to make this transition as we moved.
在我们搬家的时候，我们有很多的弟兄姐妹，大家齐心一起做了很多的努力， yeah.
And I wasn't one of them.
我没有参加啦。
I was actually back home in Hawaii helping take care of my mom these last couple of weeks.
但是过去几周呢，因为我回到夏威夷，就是探望我妈妈，所以就没有在搬家。
I just want to take a moment and appreciate all those who help move stuff, clean stuff, set up things. Think about that. Thank you all. We're just kind of getting used to being here. And so you need to stand inside the black tape. Come closer, inside. There you go. We're learning. All of our stuff. Getting used to this place. But you know, this is all a part of our journey as a church. The beginning of the year, God told us to enlarge and expand, to stretch out. And so we've enlarged, not just getting a bigger space, but stretching out into two spaces. So here's a quick poll. How many of you, this place is closer for you than our old space? Let's see, show of hands.
Okay.
How many of you, this place is further away? Okay, how many just don't want to vote? That's good. So it's about 50-50, that's great. For those of you who this place is closer, yay! We did it for you. And for those who are farther away, thank you for sacrificing. We appreciate your generosity. All right, we're going to jump into the word today. This weekend is big, not just because we're moving church. I mean, that's the biggest event of this weekend. Every nation is moving. But there's also a little event happening in Paris called the Olympics. So I don't know if any of you follow the Olympics. But I love watching all the different competitions that happen. And in a lot of ways, the Olympics it's like our church. The Olympics are made for every nation. If you recognize that the Olympic symbol, these five circles joined together, meant to represent the five main continents. Good job. Let's give them a hand. She not only has to listen to me, she has to try to talk while she's listening. And she brings her own jokes. This is great. You know. But in the Olympics, there's also what I love about the Olympics is it's a competition. And we were born for competition. That's why we love when we win. Taiwan especially, right? Every time you purchase something, you get a little lottery thing so you can win a prize. Because we're created to compete and we're created to win. And the difference in God's kingdom is that God's intention is that every single one of us find a place to win. so you and I, this is what we're born for. We're born for victory.
那其实你我生下来就是为了得胜。
The greatest Olympian of all times.
那最好的
we have, okay, is a guy named Michael Phelps.
有一个人叫做 Michael Phelps 在这个奥运上。
Michael Phelps has the most gold medals of all Olympians of all time. 23 gold medals he won.
但他是在奥运上得到最多金牌的人，他得了23个金牌。But
it was took an incredible effort to win that many gold medals.
那当然他是费了非常多的心力，然后才能赢这么多的金牌。
Training 6 hours a day, 7 days a week.
那他是每天训练6个小时，一个礼拜7天都练习的人。
No off days.
都没有半天是休息的。
In the pool working out.
就是在泳池努力练习。
Any swimmers here?
有人是擅长游泳的人吗?
You know, swimming just takes a lot of energy.
你知道游泳是花很大的精力的。
And so here's Michael Phelps. When he would go into training, he would have to just consume all these calories in order to keep up his training.
那这位先生他为了要去游泳，他必须要吃很多食物，所以他可以去消耗这些热量。
And so here's what Michael Phelps had to eat every day.
所以他每天吃什么呢?
For breakfast, 3 fried egg sandwiches.
他早上吃三个煎蛋三明治。
With cheese and tomatoes.
那有没有cheese和番茄?
Lettuce, fried onions, and mayonnaise. Sorry.
还有生菜洋葱。
She's going to be like an Olympian here. Plus, followed by 3 chocolate chip pancakes.
那还有5个巧克力的松饼。
And then, after that, still breakfast, 5 a 5 egg omelet.
那还有是早餐，还有五个欧姆蛋。3
slices of French toast coated with sugar.
那三个法式吐司沾满了糖。
A bowl of grits. like kanji. Joke. I don't know. All right, close enough. It's like rice porridge, it's some kind of porridge. All right. Plus 2 cups of coffee. Yay! We know that. Okay, and then that's just breakfast. Lunch. Half a kilo of pasta. 2 large ham and cheese sandwiches smothered with mayonnaise. And all the energy drinks he could drink. Then comes dinner. Pound of pasta, carbonara sauce, a large pizza, and more energy drinks. And in between he said, whatever I saw that I wanted, I just would eat. I don't know how he felt hungry in between those 3 meals. But he said, I had to consume 10,000 calories a day just to keep up.
那他说我一天需要消耗一万卡，我需要吸收一万卡路里，所以我才有能力去消耗这些。
That's like 5 average men.
那大概是等于一般人的5倍的量。
And this is what it took for him to become an Olympic champion.
那这些努力是让他能够成为冠军的关键。
You know, for most of us, the discipline is not to eat. For Michael Phelps, it was to eat more. But if you want to excel at anything in life, it's going to take discipline and hard effort. And it's the same for us as Christians. If we want to excel in our Christianity, it's going to take discipline. And so today you might have been a Christian for a long time. You might still be checking Christianity out. You might be here because someone said, afterwards I'll take you to lunch. But we were created actually to know God. And all that Christianity is, it's a pursuit in it's a pursuit of a relationship with God. And so whether we call that Christianity, or we call that discipleship, it's really just aligning our lives for the purpose for which we were created. Because you and I, we were created to know God. And on the one hand, until you know God, you'll always feel like there's something missing. On the other hand, knowing God is not an easy task. The Apostle Paul said this about knowing God in 1 Corinthians chapter 9. Chapter 9.
Verse 24 through 25.
Don't you realize that in a race everyone runs, but only one person gets the prize? So run to win. So Paul says, so run to win. He said, all athletes are disciplined in their training. They do it to win a prize that will fade away, but we do it for an eternal prize. You're created to win. So turn to your neighbor and tell him, you should run to win. Or said another way, don't be a loser. You know, but if you want to win in life, you need to know what's the goal. How do I know whether or not I've won or lost? What's the end goal? Where's the finish line? Where are we running so that we can understand whether or not we've won or lost? And that's what we're talking about today. The title of our sermon today is The Mandate, which means the mission. And so this is the mission that God's given us, the assignment that we have. A mandate has to do with something that someone whoever's in charge, who has the authority, when they tell you this is what you're supposed to do, that's a mandate. And what you're going to see is, like, if you watch the Olympics over the next couple of weeks, you're going to see all these different competitions. But there is a clear, in every competition, there is a clear goal. For every race, there's a clear finish line. And there's clear rules by which they compete. The runners don't come up to the line and say, well, today I just want to run 150 meters. And someone else says, well, I want to run 75. And one guy doesn't say, well, I like running on a straight track. And then the guy says, well, I run faster if there's a little bit of a curve. And the officials don't say, well, just run however you want. You know, we're all winners here. Just whatever you want to do, you go do it. You be you. So whatever you feel, it's okay. Just your feelings are valid. And then they don't run the race, and then the guy who ends up last place says, hey, I won. Said, no, it doesn't matter how you feel. You came in behind the other guys. You lost.
That's right.
And so in life, there's a mandate, a commission. There is a finish line that God has us racing towards. And Jesus said it this way. He said that in Matthew chapter 28, verses 18 and 19. It says, therefore go and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
所以你们要去使万民做我的门徒，奉父子圣灵的名给他们施洗。
Okay, and so this is our mandate, is to go and make disciples.
那这是我们的使命，就是使万民做门徒。
That's the finish line that God's given us.
那是神给我们的终点。
That's the course that Jesus gave us to run.
那是神为我们设立的跑道。
Go and make disciples.
使去使万民做门徒。
He didn't say go to church.
他没有说去教会。
He didn't say go memorize the Bible. He said, go make disciples. So this is our mandate. This is our commission. To make disciples. So here at Every Nation Taipei, we like team preaching. When we have joint services like this, we have the speaker and the interrupter. Interpreter. Yeah, let's give her. Now, next week we'll go back to separate services, English and Chinese. But in the meantime, we're charging together. But you also get to help me preach. And so the success of this sermon also depends on you. And so turn to your neighbor and help me preach. Tell them, go make disciples. This is what we do. Go make disciples. All right, so whether or not everybody gets this sermon is just going to depend on how well they obey what you're telling them. So in Every Nation, we have a simple plan for making disciples. It's a simple strategy that we follow. Because making disciples is the main thing that we want to be about. And so we just call making disciples, we break it down simply to what we call the four E's. I'm not sure how that translates. Obviously it was written by someone in English. But the first E is engage. That means that... Got it. So engaging is just meeting people. It is start initiating relationships. It's rising up to say, I'm going to help someone else to grow. I'm going to help somebody else know Jesus. So let's go to practice engaging. Turn to someone you haven't talked to yet, before you or after you, and say, you need to engage. Everybody's... That's right. Look for someone you don't know and look them in the eye. As always, we want to apologize to all the introverts. And you can come see us. We'll give you free counseling afterwards. And for all of the extroverts, welcome! This is your church. But every relationship begins and grows by engaging. You have to dig into people's lives, ask questions. Show interest and find out. The next E is to get people established. And there are teachings and understandings that are required in being a Christian. If we want to really walk with God, there's certain beliefs that have to be set in our lives. Just like for Michael Phelps, for him to succeed in swimming, he had to build in disciplines into his life. And so there are disciplines that help you succeed in the Christian life. And getting established in those, that's the next step. The third step that we talk about is equipping. And this is teaching you how to walk out the Christian life. We want to equip each other to be effective in our lives. And it's the same in any sport. It's the same in any sport. Every athlete needs to learn the skills required for his or her sport. And so in life and in making disciples, we want to help equip you with the skills necessary. And lastly, we want to empower you. So that you can be a part of helping other people become strong disciples and knowing Christ. And so we just want to make it clear and simple. This is the mandate and this is how we do it. We love church on Sunday. We love seeing everybody. Some of us like singing songs. Others feel bothered by how the singing. But it's what we do. We come together. But this is not the main thing that we do. The main thing that we do as a church is make disciples. Because Jesus said, this is how you compete and this is how you win. We won't be measured by how great our church services were. Although we want to have great services. We won't be measured for how big our church is. We're going to be measured by, are we disciples and are we making disciples? And so in the remaining few minutes, I just want to share with you, here are three quick principles it's for how we make disciples. Okay. Number one, I think we're on here. Discipleship is relational learning. We're going to be pulling from Psalm chapter 78. This is a psalm of worship to God. All the psalms were songs declaring God's goodness. But this psalm in particular talks about not only knowing God's goodness, but passing it on to others. So the goal today as we hear these three quick principles is to receive it and pass it on. So turn to your neighbor. Tell them, receive this and pass it on. We'll see how convincing a preacher you are. All right, relational learning. Psalm chapter 78, verse 1. It says, O my people, listen to my instructions. Open your ears to what I am saying, for I will speak to you in a parable. I will teach you hidden lessons from our past. Relational learning. We were created to be learners. Recent studies have shown that being a lifelong learner is a source of many benefits to our lives. We used to think that at a certain age and a certain level of maturity, your brain was locked in and would stay the same forever. This is what I was taught way back in the dinosaur ages when I was in high school and college. But in the past 50 years, we've discovered that actually our brains keep learning and keep growing and changing. What's even more interesting is that we found that you can actually intentionally grow and change your brain. And so here are a few benefits. Number one, being a lifelong learner is really going to help your career. The more you know, and the better you are at learning new things, the faster you're going to find yourself advancing in your career. More important than that, it keeps your brain healthy. Our brains tend to deteriorate faster when we stop learning. It also helps our relationships. If you're a person who is constantly looking to learn from others, people actually tend to like you more. There's a university that recently did a study. So they had two groups of people. And one group, they split both groups into two. The teachers and the learners. We got a breakaway. We love kids. And so they told the learners in one group, this other group of folks, the teachers, they are super smart. And so you should ask them all the questions that you can. And then the other group, they told them, now the teachers, they actually don't know much more than you, so there's not much to learn from them. And so they tended not to ask them any questions. And here's what they discovered. That always the people who asked a lot of questions were viewed as smarter than the people who didn't ask a lot of questions. And we tend to think that if I keep asking questions, I'm going to reveal how stupid I am or how much I don't know. So we don't ask questions. Because we think asking questions will make people look down on us and think we aren't very smart. When in reality, the opposite is true. And so as lifelong learners, it's this relational learning that's key to discipleship. If we go back to that scripture in Psalm chapter 78, you'll find that it's this constant interaction between two people. Listen to my instruction. Open your ears to what I am saying. I'm going to speak in a parable. I will teach you. And so discipleship is very much relational learning. There's a lot we can learn in books. But there's an added benefit to our character and who we are when we learn through relationships. And so discipleship is relational learning. Let's see, this next scripture. Go ahead to Matthew chapter 28. So Jesus came and told his disciples, I have been given all authority in heaven and on earth. Therefore, go and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit. Teach these new disciples to obey all the commands I have given you. And be sure of this, I am with you always, even to the end of the age.
凡我所吩咐你们的都教训他们遵守，我就常与你们同在，直到世界的末了。And
so Jesus didn't say just write books or make blogs and send them out. He said, you go.
耶稣就是对他们说，你们要出去。
And so Jesus is saying discipleship is a relational learning.
对，耶稣说门徒训练是一种关系导向的。And
Jesus says, I am with you always. In other words, the relational learning begins with our relationship with Him.
那关系导向的学习呢，的开头是在于我们与耶稣父神关系。
The next principle.
下一个原则.
Is that discipleship is generation to generation.
门徒训练是一代又一代的。
Psalm chapter 78 verses 3 through 6. It says, these are stories that our ancestors handed down to us. We will not hide these truths from our children. We will tell the next generation about the glorious deeds of the Lord. Verse 5. It says, He commanded our ancestors to teach them to their children. Verse 6, so the next generation might know them, even the children not yet born, and they in turn will teach their own children. And so we see here how discipleship is going from teaching generation to generation. And this is not only an issue of age. We firmly believe in teaching the next generation. That's why we have children's ministry. Pray for the guys in children's ministry. We love this room here. But our children's ministry room is a little small. It's going to take special skill. So pray that they do well. And you might want to help volunteer to jump in. But that's why we love children's ministry. And youth ministry. And ministering to college students. We want to make sure that we're training up the next generation. We also know that having a heart of generosity is just one of the character traits that help us be better people. And how we treat the next generation, those younger than us, really reveals the generosity that's in our hearts. Once a generation stops thinking about future generations and just wants to live for to consume all the blessings themselves, that society is on a downward trend. And so discipleship as a reflection of God's nature is an act of generosity. That everything we receive, we want to give away to others. So turn to your neighbor. Tell him he's talking about you. See, because generation to generation isn't only a matter of age, it's also a matter of order. If you've been a Christian one day, you are a day ahead of the person who's becoming a Christian tomorrow. The fact that you're here listening to this today puts you ahead of those who weren't here. The fact that you're here, listening to this today. Let's put you ahead of those who are not here today. So now you have something that you can share with others. Everything you learn, you should want to give away. This is the heart of generation to generation. The last point. Discipleship is based on truth. Psalms chapter 78, beginning in verse 1. It says, O my people, listen to my instructions. And that word instructions there is actually the Hebrew word for laws. It's the word is in the Hebrew, it's Torah. And it's the same word that that Hebrews use for scripture, holy scripture. So he's saying, and every Jewish kid growing up back in the day used to have to memorize the Torah. Because that was their holy scripture. It was their guide for living. And so he's saying here, listen to my instructions. Verse 4, we will not hide these truths from our children. And there's a big difference between truth and fact. Truths are always true across all the situations, all generations. Facts are easily manipulatable pieces of knowledge. We are right now in the middle of election season back in the U.S. And everybody has their facts. And everybody spouts all these pieces of knowledge that support their stand. And now we have this thing called, you know, fake news. Everybody says someone else has fake news. And basically what that means is if I don't agree with you, then what you're saying is fake news. And I'm going to pull out my facts to defeat your facts. And every salesman knows that facts are easily manipulated. Every politician knows this. But truth remains the same for everyone. At all times. And so he says, these things that I want to teach you are truths. Okay. We will not hide these truths. Let's see, next verse. Verse 5. For he issued his laws to Jacob. These aren't just suggestions. They're laws. You break the law, you pay the penalty. He commanded our ancestors to teach them to their children. And a command is when someone in authority tells someone else to do something, that's a commandment. And so here, discipleship starts from a place of authority. Jesus said, all authority is given to me. And I'm sending you out to make disciples based on that authority. The truths that we want to teach are not just, shouldn't be just our own opinions. They should be based on the Word of God. Based on the laws and the commands of God. We live in a generation where we are very sensitive to people's opinions and their values. And where we always say, well, you know, whatever you feel, that, you know, that's a valid feeling. Whatever identity you want to take on, it's okay. Just yesterday, I flew back from Hawaii.
昨天我从就是夏威夷飞回来。
It's a 24-hour journey.
哇，花了24个小时。
So some long hours of sitting in airplanes and sitting in airports.
就是在机场，在飞机上需要坐非常久的时间。
And I really wanted to feel more like a first-class passenger than an economy passenger.
我真的很渴望自己其实是头等舱，而不是经济舱。
And I wanted to tell the flight agent says I identify as a first-class passenger. So I see an empty seat up there. I feel like I should be sitting there. She had a different opinion. And somehow her authority seemed to be higher than my authority. I felt a little, a little offended that she invalidated my feelings. But there wasn't much I could do about it. Because she had the authority on her side. She had the laws on her side. And so when God comes to us, it's based on His commands. Discipleship is based on His rules. And that's why we disciple people according to Scripture. Because in the end, it's the Scripture that transforms our lives. You know, as Christians, if we don't apply the Scriptures to our lives, then we end up living just like everybody else. And the point of being a Christian is to become more and more like Christ. That we would overcome the different places of brokenness and insecurity and need in our lives. But it only happens as we begin to apply the Word of God to our lives. It's a powerful bit of research that was done. 2021. They interviewed 40,000 people. And just about their Bible reading habits. And they found that people who read the Bible once a week, their lives were pretty similar to people who didn't read the Bible at all. So reading the Bible once or twice a week made very little difference. 3 times, people who read the Bible 3 times a week, they saw a slight difference, but very negligible difference.
那一周读三次圣经的人呢，好一点点，但是也没有差多少。
But all of a sudden, people who read the Bible 4 times or more a week, their lives saw a drastic change.
那但是一周读四次以上的人，他们的生命有很明显的不同。
Feelings of loneliness dropped by 30% compared to those who didn't read the Bible.
那那些人呢，他们比较起来，他们感觉到孤单呢，是比别人少30%。
Anger issues dropped by 32%.
那比较，他们也比较少有这个易怒的问题，是少32%。
Bitterness in relationship dropped by 40%.
那对关系上有苦毒呢，是少40%。
If you struggle with roots of bitterness in your life and offense, you need to read the Bible more.
如果你有苦毒的问题的话呢，要更多来读圣经。
Alcoholism dropped by 57%.
那酗酒的问题呢，也是比少比别人少57%。
Feeling spiritually stagnant dropped by 60%.
那属灵上面呢，觉得很停滞的，也是比别人少60%。
Viewing pornography dropped by 61%.
那看一些色情影片呢，也是少60%。
Sharing your faith with others jumped by 200%.
那会与别人分享你的信仰呢，是比别人多200%。
Being involved in discipleship jumped by 230%. So if you struggle with being discipled or helping to disciple others, it may be because you're just not getting into the word. When we begin to accept and to receive the Word of God as an instruction book for living, our lives begin to change. And so if we want to run this race to win, if we want to win in life and become what Jesus said we should become, because church was never meant to be just our sort of our religious duty. Church wasn't meant to be something just so we look good to God and look good to others. Church was meant to be a gathering of people actively involved in discipleship. And that's why discipleship is the main thing that we do as a church. Relational learning. So who in your life do you learn from, and who in your life are you helping to learn? It's a generation to generation. All you have to do is be one day ahead of somebody else. You're doing great. We're coming to the end. We're closing it out. And it's based on scripture. It's based on the truth. You see, God wants to set you free. The things that break our lives, bind our lives, hurt our relationships. All of us struggle with areas of insecurity in our lives. All of us struggle with areas of brokenness in our lives. And what Jesus did, He came to set us free from these areas so that we could freely grow in Him. Most all of us have good intentions. We want to be good people. We want to be good to others. But there's areas in all of our lives that keep us back from that. Insecurities and failures in our lives. And Jesus came to help us overcome the insecurities and failures in our lives. And so today we're going to close with communion. Because in the end, Christianity is all about what Jesus has done in our lives. And discipleship begins with our relationship with Jesus. Relational learning begins with our relationship with Him. Psalm 78, verse 7. Says, each generation should set its hope anew on God, not forgetting His glorious miracles and obeying His commands. And when we talk about hope, we're not talking about just a frail wish. We're talking about a confidence assurance. And our hope, the reason why we can have confident assurance, is because of what Jesus did. We want to remember the great news that Jesus died for our sins. That because of His death, we can be forgiven of all of our mess.
Into
Because of his death on the cross and his broken body and shed blood, we can be healed of all the brokenness in our lives. See, having confidence assurance is really, it's an issue of how secure we feel. When you feel secure and protected and accepted, you can have a lot of confidence. And it's Jesus' death on the cross that lets us know that we are forgiven. It lets us know that we are always accepted in Jesus. And that's why as Christians, we call this, we call communion a celebration. We're celebrating what Jesus did on the cross for us. And we're remembering. Because it's easy to forget. And to start just focusing on our own shortcomings and our own failures. Instead of remembering Jesus' victory. The Bible tells us that Jesus on the cross, he conquered death and hell. He conquered sin. Jesus is a better champion than even Michael Phelps. And so today, whatever the area of shortcoming is in your life, Jesus wants to heal that area. Wherever you feel like you failed, wherever others have failed you, the areas of pain in your life, the places where you feel trapped, like you can't be set free. Jesus died on the cross for that. And he rose from the dead to let you know that there is hope for you. There's freedom and healing for you. So if you go ahead and take out the bread. The scripture tells us that on the night that Jesus was betrayed, he took the bread. He broke it and said, "This bread is my body, broken for you. This do as often as you eat it in remembrance of me." And so as we eat this bread, we remember that Jesus was broken by sin. So that we could be made whole. And as you eat this bread, let's ask Jesus to heal the areas of brokenness in our lives. If you need physical healing, if you need some relational healing, if there's emotional healing that you need, Jesus, through his broken body, wants to restore you. So Jesus, we thank you for your broken body. May it minister healing to our lives. Bless the bread, we pray. Let's partake. Scripture says that in the same way he took the cup, and he blessed it. He said, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood," which is Jesus' promise. That because of his blood shed for us, we can have new hearts. And you may find that your your desires often run contrary to what you know is right. You may find that the hardness and brokenness of your heart makes it difficult to connect with others. You may find that you find it difficult in your heart to connect with God. God's promise through the shed blood of Jesus is that He'll renew our hearts. So that we have a heart that can bond with Him and bond with others. So Jesus, thank You for Your shed blood. We ask You, Lord God, to forgive us of our sins. And may Your blood cleanse us from all unrighteousness. In drinking of this cup, Lord God, we receive the work that You did on the cross for us. We acknowledge that we are broken and we are sinners. And we invite You to be our Savior. To be our Lord. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Let's partake of the cup. Our prayer for you today is that as you go out this week, you would encounter Jesus in your everyday life. And that you would share the good news about Jesus with others around you. Discipleship is relational learning. One generation to another. Based on the truth. Let's go make disciples. Thanks again for joining us. We'll see you again next week.
Thank you for listening. We pray this message spoke to you and built your faith. For more messages like this, visit our website at everynationtaipei.com. You can also send a prayer request and reach out to us anytime. God bless you. Till next time.